the Conference Committee on Senate Bill 248B. And the purpose of this meeting is to consider proposed amendments to Senate Bill 248B. Legislative Council has, at our request, my request, has gotten some proposals drafted, and that at this point, I believe every member should have in front of them a B11. And if you do, it's great. If you don't, please let us know. And Matt, if you would take the time to explain what the B11 amendments will do for Senate Bill 248B.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Just to remind everybody how 248B operates, it establishes a certain set of criteria that would have to be in place before an employer could enforce a non-compete. One is that the employee be a certain have a certain level of responsibility, generally a manager or creative type. The second is they make a certain amount of income, which is defined as medium income of a family of four, which is roughly $60,000. And the third is that they have what the statute defines as a protectable interest. And a protectable interest is defined as either trade secrets or other competitively sensitive confidential business information. And also is employed as an on-air talent by an employer in the business of broadcasting. And in the year preceding the termination of the employee's employment, the employer expended resources equal to or exceeding 10% of the employee's annual salary to develop, improve, train, or promote the employee. So what that means is a broadcaster, an employer who's a broadcaster, would have a protectable interest if they spent at least 10% of the salary to promote the on-air talent. And so if they fell within that category, then a broadcaster could enforce a non-compete. The B11 amendments, what they would do is add another section to that CC, the little c, big C section of the protectable interest, and it would say that the broadcaster would also have to agree to pay the employee at least 50% of the salary for the length of the term of the agreement. So if there's a six-month term, they'd have to pay them 6 months' worth of salary, or 50% of the median income, whichever is greater. And if they agree to do that and they otherwise satisfy the statute, then they could enforce the non-compete. And so that's what the B11s would do.
I'm going to ask, I did not have a chance to ask Senator, Representative McPherson. I know this committee, or your committee, actually had the 248 that resulted in the B. There's been some discussion, at least by some of the stakeholders, as to the how do you define the 50% of the annual salary, what is actually required. I'm assuming that you would take the annual salary, let's say a person that was making $50,000 a year, and could you please explain how that would work as to what the employer would be obligated to pay to enforce the non-compete?
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The something in addition to the substantive changes that is clarified in the B11 amendments is that the non-competition agreement applies to the period after termination of employment, so from termination of employment for some period of time, not to exceed 2 years. And it is that period of time that this compensation, 50% compensation requirement, applies to. And so what would what this language says is that for the time the employee is restricted from working, that is from the point where the employee leaves employer A, which entered into the non-competition agreement with the employee, until the end of that term that was agreed to, not to exceed 2 years, during that period, the employer, the prior employer, would have to continue compensating that employee at the same rate that the employee was earning before termination of employment. And that's based on the annual gross base salary and commissions at the time of the employee's termination, or in the alternative, 50% of the median family income for a four-person family. So it's with a floor of the median family income, but more than that, if the employee was earning more than that, would have to be paid during the period in which the non-competition agreement is being enforced, and it would be paid just period by period, month by month, probably if it's a monthly payroll, for as long as that non-competition agreement is in force. And since the employer could back off of it, I suppose they could, if it was for a 2-year period, they could decide that 1 year later they would discontinue the 50% compensation, and the enforceability of the non-competition agreement would end at that time. They could opt not to enforce it for the entire duration.
So if I could give some examples, I want to try to build a record here because I know there's some concern from some of the stakeholders. So if you had a person who's making a salary of $50,000 a year, and if they had, at the time of termination, 1 year left on the non-compete clause, the employer would be obligated to pay 50% of that, what was being paid on a monthly basis, for the duration or the full monthly amount. I just want to make sure we understand what that obligation is.
The payment would have to be at least 50% of the annual gross base salary and commissions at the time of termination. That is, that would be at a rate of payment. So obviously, you wouldn't, if a person were earning a salary, an annual salary of $100,000 a year, you wouldn't have to pay half of that or $50,000 in month one. That salary is expressed, even though it's an annual salary rate, it's expressed also in monthly terms. So it would be that monthly amount, and it'd be half of that monthly amount would have to be paid by the employer to the employee for the first month in which it was enforceable, and another half of that monthly amount in the second month it was enforceable, and so on, for as long as the employer was seeking to enforce the non-competition commitment.
All right. And so, and your second part of that example was that if for some reason the employer said after 6 months out of this 1 year that was still on the non-compete, if he or she, the employer, chose to, let's say, release the employee to go out and find other gainful employment, they could terminate their payments at that point, and then the employee would be free to seek other employment.
At whatever point the employer ceased performing on that obligation, they would render the non-competition agreement no longer enforceable because they wouldn't have done what the statute requires them to do.
Okay. So the third part of this, let's say the monthly salary of that individual was $5,000 per month, and or let's say the $50,000, you said $100,000 per year, divide that in half, that would be $50,000. So during if it's still that one-year period, you would take that $50,000, or they could pay greater than that, than 50%, but that would be the floor, and that would be divided out in 12 equal payments?
Maybe I should have used one that was maybe an annual salary figure divisible by 12, might make it a little easier. Let's use $120,000.
Okay.
So $10,000 a month is what the broadcaster was being paid. 50% of that is $5,000 a month.
Right.
So there's a termination of employment that occurs on June 30, and there's a non-competition agreement in force for 2 years thereafter, so it would run out June 30 of 2009. So for the month of July, the employer would have to pay that broadcaster $5,000.
Okay.
That's 50% of their monthly salary rate in order to cause the non-competition agreement to be enforceable for the month of July of 2007. And then in August, they'd have to pay another $5,000. Basically, they're having to keep the person on at half pay,
right,
in order to continue the enforceability of their agreement.
And at any time that the employer fails to make that monthly payment, that would have released the employee?
That's right, because under the terms of the statute, the agreement would no longer be enforceable.
All right. I just want to get the threshold questions. Senator Atkinson.
A couple things, Representative. Said the floor then is the median family income test.
It's actually it's the greater of the either 50% of the gross base salary and commission rate at the time of termination, or 50% of the median family income for a four-person family.
So what if the talent makes, as their salary is already below the median family income?
Then it would be my reading of this would be the greater of those two. So it'd be the 50% of the median family income. If median family income in Oregon, my understanding from our discussions in the Judiciary Committee and the House side is about $60,000 currently. So if a broadcaster were being paid at an annual salary rate of $48,000, so $4,000 a month. Under that measure, $2,000 a month would be enough to make the agreement enforceable. But under this language, it would have to be 60,000 divided by 12 is 5,000, so it would have to be 2,500 instead of 2,000 a month would have to be paid in order to cause it to be enforceable.
Okay. The reason I bring that up is most small and medium-sized talent are paid below the, far below what the rest of large to medium and then certainly large and then urban markets are paid.
Well, the reason for the original exception that was put into the House amendments, the reason why broadcasters were carved out of the income requirement was exactly that point, that it's only in the Portland metropolitan area market where the broadcast talent is paid more than median family income. That most of the broadcasters who are operating in the other markets in the state are paid less than that median family income, just because that's the nature of the work and the way it's paid. And in order to create a carve out that would allow the broadcasters to still use this mechanism in those areas outside of the Portland metro area, this was included in the House amendments.
One more quick one. Broadcasting definition, page 3, subsection 6, or excuse me, 7 under the new. Is there a provision under here if a television talent goes to radio or a radio talent goes to television? Upon the second job, is the non-compete still enforceable?
That would depend on what the scope of the agreement was. If the agreement said that you couldn't go into not only television, but you couldn't go in radio, then that would be the scope of the non-competition agreement that they would be attempting to enforce. Now, recognize under common law, there's an overriding limitation, which is that the courts will not enforce non-competition agreements that are unreasonably broad. And it may well be that a court would say that a restriction on a television broadcaster that prevented them from going on the radio was overly broad and couldn't be enforced under common law. And this statute wouldn't have any impact on that.
Are we in work session, Mr. Chair?
We are. I know that there's a call for the House, so I'll move that we adopt the B-11 amendments to Senate Bill 248-B.
Senator Maxson moves for the adoption of B-11 amendments to Senate Bill 248-B. Is there any other discussion? If not, then the chair will be asking those who have opinion that the B-11 amendments to Senate Bill 248-B be adopted will say aye, and those will say no, and I think we should do a vote count, please.
Senator Atkinson?
Yes.
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Representative
Bonamici? Aye.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Senator Lester?
Aye.
Chair Kozanski?
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments dated June 7 and the bill be further amended with the B-11 amendments and repassed.
Senator Metzger moves that the Senate concur in the House amendments dated June 7 and that the bill be further amended by the B-11 amendments and repassed. Any further discussion? Not seeing any. Those are the opinion that the Senate concur in the House amendments dated June 7 and that the bill be further amended with the B-11 amendments and repass will say aye, and those opposed, no. Patsy?
Senator Atkinson?
No.
Representative Bonamici?
Aye.
Representative
McPherson?
Aye.
Senator
Metzger?
Aye.
Chair Kozanski?
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. And the carrier on the House side will be McPherson. And Senator Metzger, would you like to carry that?
Sure.
And Senator Metzger will carry on the Senate side. I close the work session on Senate Bill 248-B at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.